This morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, I want to continue our study in the book of Ephesians, and we're going to be looking at chapter 5, verses 1 through 14, if you would like to follow along in your Bibles. We're glad that you have joined us this morning on the program. If this is your first time to be with us, we're glad that you're here. And we invite you to come to one of our services at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. We meet at 290 Warfield Boulevard in Clarksville, Tennessee. We are back open for worship. We have been for some time. I know that there are different churches that have closed their doors during this pandemic, but we are open. If you'd like to come and worship God with us, we would be glad to have you. All of our visitors are welcome. If you need more information, you can call us at 931-647-1324. That's 931-647-1324. Again, that's the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ meeting at 290 Warfield Boulevard in Clarksville, Tennessee. You can visit us on the web at wbcoc.org. That's wbcoc.org. And you can get all of our previous Let the Bible Speak programs and other Bible studies, and you can listen to sermons there. And we would be glad to have you visit the website. But, of course, in person is always the best, and we are worshiping back in a safe manner, and you're welcome to be with us. 9:30 and 10:30 on Sunday morning, 6 p.m. on Sunday evening, and Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. We've been looking at the book of Ephesians, and we have been looking particularly at the Christian's walk in Christ. Paul continues his theme of the Christian's walk in Christ in chapter 5. And notice in verse 2, walk in love. So this morning on the program, I want to talk a little bit about walking in love and in light. Paul has already written about the Christian's walk in unity, chapter 4, 1 through 16, and the Christian's walk in newness, chapter 4, 17 through 32. Now Paul will address the Christian's walk in love, chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, and the Christian's walk in light. Spiritual light, chapter 5, 3 through 14. And there is a contrast going on here. These Ephesian Christians are not to walk in a way that was like their former worldly life. Chapter 4, verse 17, and following the walk of the Gentiles, Paul came to the city of Ephesus in Acts 18 and 19. There was a group of Jews there. There were also, of course, many Gentiles or non-Jews worshiping the goddess Diana in the temple there. And that Gentile life was very worldly, very sinful, very profligate and ungodly. And a few of the characteristics are mentioned about their life in chapter 4. 17 through 19, and we talked about that in a previous program. And it was a very ungodly way of life, and these Christians are to live differently from that. And even ungodly things are mentioned in verses 25 of chapter 4, 25 through 29, along in there. And these Christians are to stay away from those things as well. So there's a contrast here going on. Stay away from that former manner of life. But they are to walk as imitators of God, as beloved children of God, chapter 5, verse 1. And so when they imitate God and walk as God directs them, they will walk in love and in light. So let's look at that this morning. I'm glad that you have joined us. I appreciate that. You can contact us at the numbers that are given at the beginning and end of the program if you have any Bible questions about anything in God's Word or in particular about our study of Ephesians. Call us and we can set up a time to talk and study God's Word. That would be great. Let's read Ephesians 5, 1 through 14. Paul writes, "Be ye therefore imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, even as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for an odor of a sweet smell. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as becometh saints, nor filthiness, nor foolish talking or jesting, which are not befitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know of a surety, that no fornicator, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no man deceive you with empty words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the sons of disobedience. Be ye not therefore partakers with them, for ye were once darkness, but are now light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather even reprove them. For the things which are done by them in secret, it is a shame even to speak of. But all things, when they are reproved, are made manifest by the light. For everything that is made manifest is light. Wherefore, he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall shine upon thee." It's a great passage of Scripture where Paul opens up with love and then he talks about light. So let's look at that this morning in chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, the walk in love. Paul had just finished encouraging the Ephesian Christians to put off the old man of the world and put on the new man in Christ in chapter 4, 17 through 32. Paul begins this section in chapter 5 and verse 1 with, "Be ye therefore." Again, therefore is drawing a conclusion based upon what he had just given in the previous admonition. Paul wants the Ephesian Christians to be imitators of God as beloved children. Christians are children of God, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 14, 1 John 3, verse 2. And we're loved by God. That's a great thing to know as a Christian, that we are beloved children. That means God is going to care for us and give us only what is best. And so these Ephesians are not to imitate the old walk of the Gentiles. They are to imitate God, their Father. The word here is literally mimic. We know what a mime is, or a mimic. We're to mimic, imitate God, as a child would mimic or imitate his father. We're to follow God's example. And there are a number of places in the New Testament where we're told that we are to be like God. I think of Matthew chapter 5, Jesus talks in the Sermon on the Mount that we are to love our enemies as our Heavenly Father does, and be perfect as our Heavenly Father does in that kind of love. I think about Peter's statement in 1 Peter to be holy as God is holy. John, in 1 John, we are to walk in the light as God is in the light. And there are things like this where we're to be like our Heavenly Father. And in a world today where so many people are acting in an improper way, we need to make sure that we're acting like our Heavenly Father would act in any given scenario. And that's why it's important to know our Bible, to know how our Heavenly Father acts. That's a part of why we have His revelation, so that we can know how to be like Him. And I would encourage you to be reading more of your Bible so that you can know that. But we imitate God, and Paul writes in particular this one way, and that is to imitate God in the matter of love. Walk in love. even as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and sacrifice to God. And we're to love as God loves. We're very familiar with John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So God is love. John talks about that in 1 John. God is love. God is light. He doesn't just simply do those things. He is those things. That's his very nature. And we're to imitate that. And so these Ephesians were to walk in love. Notice that it's a sacrificial love. It's not just a word. It's not just a sentiment or a thought or a feeling. It's demonstrated by action. Notice that this love was demonstrated by Christ, who gave himself, giving. He gave himself on the cross. The idea of Christ giving himself for us is found different places in Paul's writings. So it needs to be a love that gives. By following the Lord's example of sacrificial love for them, they can learn to sacrificially love their fellow brethren. And Paul has talked about before this idea of love. Chapter 3, verse 17, verse 19, chapter 4, verse 2, 4:15, 4:16, 5:25 with regard to husbands and wives, verse 28, verse 33, chapter 6, verse 23 and 24, the book closes with love. And it's going to be a sacrificial, caring love. What can I do for you? How can I help you? How can I serve you? Again, not just a sentiment or a thought, but showing itself in deeds. So as Christians, we need to be doing that. Jesus' offering and sacrifice on the cross for the sins of all mankind was an act of love. So it shows itself in action. And then Paul also says, using some concepts from the Old Testament, it was like a sacrifice. He says that he gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for an odor of a sweet smell, a fragrant aroma, just like the Old Testament sacrifices offered up this aroma, even in the patriarchal period, Genesis 8:21, and then in the time of the law of Moses, Exodus 29:18, Leviticus 1:9, many other places. There were Old Testament animal sacrifices for sin. Jesus is the fulfillment of all of that, and he gave himself like an Old Testament animal sacrifice for the sins of the world on the cross. And it was that which was pleasing, an odor of a sweet smell unto God, that which was pleasing unto God. So we don't offer up animal sacrifices today. Of course, we're not under the old law. It has passed away. We saw that in an earlier lesson, even in the book of Ephesians, when we looked at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. The old law has been done away. We're not under that old law anymore. The sacrificial system is Jesus Christ. He's the high priest. He's the sacrifice. And we come to terms with God through him. And so that's why we need to apply that blood sacrifice of Jesus to our lives through baptism and faithful Christian living. And if you haven't done that, we would encourage you to do that. But the main thought that I want us to take from this is to verse 2, walk in love. Each day as Christians, we are to be treating others with a sacrificial love that serves them and sacrifices for them and helps them. We live in a very selfish world today. We see it in the news. We see it with all the problems that are going on. Much of that is driven by sin and selfishness. And if we would get back to sacrificially loving others, treating our fellow man properly, many of these issues and problems that we're facing would immediately clear up. So walk in love. Number two, we need to walk in light. Light in the scripture often is physical light. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Back in Genesis chapter 1, we have the physical light from the burning stars, our sun, that which burns, gives off light. So we have physical light, but often in scripture, light is symbolic of or representing of truth and righteousness and all that is good and right. And so that's how it's being used here. So verse 8, we are to walk as children of light. In addition to walking in love, verses 1 and 2, we as Christians, and Paul wanted the Ephesian Christians to walk in light. In this section, darkness refers to the sinful way of life, and light refers to what is good and righteous and a truthful way of life. And it's used like that several places in the New Testament, too numerous to mention this morning. But light, truth, righteousness, good, holiness. Paul did not want these Christians to live in a dark, sinful way. And so starting in verse 3, fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, let it not be named among you as become saints. This is the dark way of life. This is the sinful way of life. So he starts off with fornication, which is any sexual immorality, a sexual relationship outside of marriage, homosexual relationships. These are fornication. These are unclean. He mentions uncleanness, any impure thoughts or deeds. He mentions covetousness, which is greed. It's a work of the flesh, Galatians 5:19, Colossians 3:5. Greed or covetousness, often involving monetary things. These are dark, sinful things. Christians must stay away from these sins because they are saints. Paul says, as becometh saints. This is not a lifestyle that is becoming of saints, meaning holy or set apart for God's service. He goes on to talk about in verse 4 some other dark and sinful things. Paul did not want these Christians to live in filthiness, that is base or obscene or indecent behavior. Foolish talking. This would be impious or silly talk. Or jesting. This deals with insinuations. One newer version says coarse jesting. One thing that would come to my mind would be sexual innuendo or sexual jokes, where we don't outright speak explicitly about the sexual act, but we intimate or suggest, and that would be along the lines of jesting or coarse jesting. The word literally means that which is easily turned, and so saying things that could easily be turned into something else, we call that innuendo. And why is it? Because Paul writes, these things which are not befitting, but rather giving of thanks. They're not befitting. One newer version says, these things are out of place for the Christian. And so, let us not engage in those dark and sinful kinds of things. Things that we do with our body, with our mind, and with our words. Paul wanted these Christians to clearly understand and know for certain that no fornicator or unclean person or covetous man who is an idolater will have any inheritance in the kingdom of God in Christ. And so he makes it clear. Verse 3, don't do these things. And then I want to make it even more clear. Verse 5, if you do these things, you cannot be in the kingdom of God in Christ. So he just spells it out. You'll see this same type of language in 1 Corinthians 5:11. In Galatians 5:19 through 21, cannot be in the kingdom. And that's a very important thing. People today say, well, you can do any of that kind of stuff and still go to heaven. Paul says no. You're going to believe Paul, the Apostle Paul, or you're going to believe what the world says? And one other thing before we go on, notice that Paul writes that a covetous man, verse 5, is an idolater. Greed for money and material gain is just as much idolatry as bowing down to a piece of wood or stone, which we don't typically do in the Western world. There are still a lot of literal idolaters. For example, in Hinduism, the Hinduism of India and other places like that, there are a lot of idolaters. But we can be an idolater by bowing down to the almighty dollar. So just something to think about. So these Ephesian Christians were to be walking in light and staying away from these things. Then Paul says the Ephesian Christians were not to be deceived into thinking that these things are proper. Verse 6, let no man deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the things that he had mentioned in verses 3 through 5, these sinful things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. And so God is going to punish these things. Again, the world says all of this is fine. You know, fornication's fine, and uncleanness and covetousness and so forth, all this filthy and foolish talking, it's all fine. But Paul is reminding us not to be deceived. It's a very easy thing to do, to be deceived into thinking these things are fine. The devil advertises, as it were, these sinful things and puts it in a good light, makes it look fun, makes it look happy, makes it look politically correct, etc. But don't be deceived by those lies. These things are wrong. Number one, it'll keep you out of the kingdom of heaven. Number two, you will get the wrath of God. And there will be a punishment of this in hell. Don't be deceived. These things are not right. They're wrong. These sinful things will bring about the wrath of God upon the sons of disobedience. We have gotten away from the wrath of God. Romans 1:18, Colossians 3:6. A lot of people like to think of God as love only. He is love, but he has another side to him. He has a wrathful side, and we'll face that if there's sin in our life. So don't engage in that. The sons of disobedience. I believe the sons of disobedience in chapter 2 and verse 2 of Ephesians would be sinners, those who have not come to Christ, anyone in the world. And I believe the context of chapter 5 and verse 6, sons of disobedience, would be sinful members of the church. And the wrath of God is going to come upon them. The Christians at Ephesus were not to partake in these things. Verse 7, be not therefore partakers with them. Stay away from these things that we have just mentioned. Don't participate in these sinful activities. That's difficult. You might be called odd or different. Someone might poke fun of you. Someone might get upset at you, but we're not going to engage in these things. Why? Well, the Christians have come out of a sinful life of darkness and are now living in the light of goodness and righteousness and truth. You once were darkness. That's that Gentile lifestyle of chapter 4, verses 17 and following. And you're not to go back to that. You're not to fellowship with that. In fact, we're going to see in just a minute, you need to denounce it. You need to rebuke it. But these Christians, and the same today, have come out of a sinful life of darkness, and we're now to live in the light of truth. Like I said earlier, darkness here refers to that which is evil and the sinful way of life. And darkness is used in Scripture that way. Light is used here to refer to what is good and righteous and truthful in the Lord. And so you have the dark life of the devil or you have the light, life, truthful life of the Lord. And when Christians walk in the light, they will live in such a way that they will prove what is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And verse 10, proving what is well-pleasing unto the Lord. That's really what it all boils down to, friends. Do we want to please the Lord, or do we want to please the world? So we're going to have to stay away from these kinds of things. And then Paul talks about in verse 11, have no fellowship with them. What relationship are Christians to have with the sinful world around them? Well, negatively speaking, they are to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. That is, they're not to participate in these activities or condone those who do. Positively, they are to reprove them or expose them. They are to take the light of God's truth and reprove or expose these sinful activities. And I'll admit, that's difficult to do sometimes, to tell someone you're not living right. And you go back through those things that are listed in chapter 3 through 5, or some of those things that were listed back at the end of chapter 4, sinful way of life, lying, and so forth. You tell somebody, don't be doing that. They don't like that. They'll get upset at that. Well, do you think you're better than I am? And who are you to judge me? And leave me alone. I'm allowed to live my own life. It's my life. I want to live it any way I want. And you get all of that. But we still must take the light of truth and reprove or expose those things that are wrong. That needs to be done in our preaching. That needs to be done in our teaching. That needs to be done in our personal lives as we're talking with others. And so, expose that, reprove that. The works of darkness are shameful. One version says disgraceful. And when people do these things, to speak of them and to act, it's almost as if they want to do them in secret. The things which are done by them in secret, it is a shame to even speak of. They're doing that behind the scenes because it's wrong. But light makes everything visible, and the light of God's truth will reprove them and show them to be what they are. So Paul closes this section with wherefore in verse 14. Based upon all that was wrong and the works of darkness, Christians must remain vigilant and stay spiritually awake so that they are not deceived into practicing these sinful things. And we'll pick up there, Lord willing, next week, and we'll keep going in our discussion of the Christian's walk. Thank you for being with us this morning on the program. Let me encourage you to walk in love and walk in light and to be a New Testament Christian. And if we can help you to be that, please contact us so that we can study and make that happen. Thank you for being with us on the program, and have a good day.